Well, this morning we have been talking about prayer, and I'm going to pray a prayer this morning, but it's going to be a prayer of declaration over every household that is listening, that is tuned in to us now. And so I'm going to declare over Real Life Church and others of those of you who have joined us this morning a declaration over your family, over your life, no matter what you're going through, what season you're in. I'm going to declare over you the blessing of the Father and everything that you need, because the Word of God says that He is our shepherd, that we have a shepherd, and that He will give us everything that we need. So are you ready? Maybe you want to position yourself in some way to receive this declaration over your life this morning. So, Father, I declare that You are the God who is our defender. You are the God who fights for us. I want to declare this morning that Your power has no end. Yes. That what You have done before, You are going to do it today in greater measure. I thank You that You light up the darkest seasons of our life. And we thank You right now for the kingdom purposes that You are going to accomplish today as Real Life Church and awakens. And Lord, we pray, we declare that You will awaken and ignite a flame in every one of us and a desire to pray and seek You more than ever before. And we pray this in the precious and lovely name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, I'm going to just talk to you this morning about diving right into prayer, yeah? And can I say from the start of my message, and I'm just going to be really totally transparent with you all, and say that one of the big ticket items of being a follower of Jesus, which is the challenging area of prayer, that I personally find prayer challenging. There are some aspects of prayer that I do well, but there are others that I really struggle with on a regular basis. So I have this daily struggle that happens, and it kind of is like this. It's my own humanity and weakness, my own desires, and then I have this tension that happens between my humanity, my human weakness, and being a disciple or a follower of Jesus. Yeah? Are you shocked? Well, don't be, because God nails it completely in Romans 7, 15 to 20. I don't really understand myself. For what I want to do, I want to do what is right. Yeah? But I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate. But if I know that what I am doing is wrong, this shows that I agree that the law is good. So I am not the one doing wrong. It is sin living in me that does it. And I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature. I want to do what is right, but I can't. I want to do what is good, but I don't. I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyway. Anybody else with me? But if I do what I don't want to do, I am not really the one doing wrong. It is sin living in me that does it. And this is Paul, and he speaks about the things that he wants to do. But yet so often he doesn't get them done. And the things he doesn't want to do, like sinful, selfish, human things, he keeps on doing them. Two hands up for me. Sound familiar? So what do we do? If you have a look at Romans 7 and 8, we throw up our hands, just like Romans in chapter 7, verse 24, and say, "Oh, what a miserable person I am. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death?" Thank God. The answer is in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. So over the last few weeks, Pastor David's been sharing of the importance of prayer based on the scripture that says, "Pray without ceasing" in Thessalonians 1. And we as a leadership team so want to equip you in this area. So I want to get right down to it and get really practical and talk with you about two different types of approaches to praying that may be a helpful tool for you. So let's learn this morning how to dive right into prayer. Now, don't misunderstand my heart and my motives today, because I'm not seeking, God forbid, to give you a foolproof formula. Haven't we had those? But humbly and prayerfully, I want to ignite your heart once again, because we're talking about hearts this morning, yeah? God is always looking at the motives and the intentions of our heart. Now, I remember when my sister and I were children, one of the big summer treats that our parents would take us on was to Mullaloo Beach. And every summer we'd go throughout quite a few times to Mullaloo Beach. For those of you who have ever been, the waves are quite rough and, you know, it's a fun beach. We used to love it, you know, getting dumped and all the stuff that happens when you go to the beach. But when we first arrived, Kerry and I would approach the water very, very cautiously. We would scream and carry on because as our toes were touching the water, it was freezing cold. Yeah? But our dad had a completely different approach to us. He would simply, without hesitation, run straight into that freezing water and dive right in. Yeah? Now, can I encourage you this morning to come with me and to dive right into prayer? Amen? You know, sometimes a fresh approach can bring new fire and fervor to your walk with Jesus. So, here we go. The first approach to prayer I want to share with you is from the prayer of Jabez. It's found in 1 Chronicles 4, verses 9 to 10. Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. His mother had named him Jabez, saying, "I gave birth to him in pain." Wow. What a beginning to a life, to be named a pain. And Jabez cried out to the God of Israel and said, "Oh, that you would bless me, despite my name. Oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm, so that I will be free from pain." And God granted his request. So Jabez, here's this guy, he has an unfortunate meaning attached to his name. Now, his poor mother, let's not be down on her, because she'd clearly had a very difficult birth, and she calls her son born with pain. Wow. And that's directly related to the pain she endured in labour. When Jabez prays, he speaks against the curse of his name, and he lets go of the shame it covered him in. He wanted to turn what he saw as a problem into God's glory. So he's labelled by his mother, and that label could have defined his life. It could have destroyed his life, because when you know, meanings of names are very important, yeah? And he could have, oh yeah, that's Jabez, you know, boy, even his mother calls him a pain. But he chose to not hold on to his label. But he didn't. What he did was he drew a line in the sand, and this is what he said. Yeah, and this is what his actions actually showed. "This is enough. No more. I will not let what others have labeled me to be seen as truth. I will no longer live under the oppression of this label." Now, he was just an ordinary guy who decided that his birth was not his destiny. Amen? And he decided to live an extraordinary life. How much of our lives have we let labels get in the way of having a more blessed and pain-free life? Now, so often we allow the labels that we've been given to not allow us to walk in all that God has called us to be. Yeah? And many of us this morning, and I just want to say this prophetically to those of you who maybe carry a certain label over your life and you've allowed it to define you, but God is actually speaking to you directly this morning and saying, throw off that label. That's not who you are. You are who I say you are. Yeah? In Jesus' name. So Jabez's prayer has four parts to it. Let's have a look. First part is, oh, that you would bless me. So Jabez understands right from the onset of his prayer who God is. He understands that if he wants his life to be blessed, then God has to not only be his God, but the Lord of his life and the head of his whole life. Every part, every facet. You know, sometimes we compartmentalize God. We say we want God in that part of our life, but we don't want God in this part of our life, or he doesn't need to be involved in that part of our life. But Jabez understood that God needs to be part of every facet. Every part of our world, every part of, you know, every department, every compartment, God needs to be Lord of every area of our life. Every facet, no holding back. Blessings come from God alone. And Jabez understood that. So when he prays, his heart is fully invested in the blessings of God. He understands that God is our source. And when we link to God, Real Life Church, through prayer, what he does, he delights when we choose to pray. He wants to bless our lives to a greater measure than we could ever imagine. And Ephesians 3 says, now to him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us. Because we've received that power in us, in an ordinary person like me. His supernatural power is living and residing inside of me. And Jabez also understood that to reach our goals and accomplishments, we have to have God on our side fighting for us as our defender, because things are going to come our way. We need an advocate. We need a defender. We need a warrior. We need an advocate, and this can only be lived out if we have this close, intimate relationship with God. So how do we stay close? Everyone talks about walking closely with God. What does that mean? How do we do that on an everyday basis? Well, one way is by realizing that God is always present. Even when we're not connecting in with him, he is literally just a prayer away. He is available to help and guide us 24/7. Things that you might not even think are important, you know, oh, I won't bother God with that, he's too busy. God is vitally committed and concerned about everything that you're concerned about this morning. And he never sleeps, he never slumbers. He is always, always listening out, always attentive to our cry. Amen. Call to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. Jeremiah 33:3. And we can lean into him at any time. I'll tell you some of the places I do it. I do it in the car. I do it while I'm brushing my teeth, while I'm having breakfast, while I'm doing the gardening, which isn't very often, I have to say. In fact, I often lean into God while I'm putting on my makeup and blow drying my hair. And I connect with him through prayer, or I'll put on some worship and I'll be praying and leaning into him just in my ordinary everyday. Now the second part of the prayer says, and enlarge my territory. And if we look at the lineage of Jabez, it's clear that he is not merely talking about wealth and prosperity, but he is a kingdom person. He is a God follower. And so he's talking in terms of impacting the kingdom of God. And as he's walking closely with God, he's operating, his eyes, his gaze, his attention, his focus is on eternal, it's from an eternal perspective. Yeah? He's not just thinking about his territory here and what, you know, his family owns and what he brings on in this life, but his eyes have an eternal perspective. His heart's desire was that his spiritual territory would increase and that the generations that came after him would be even greater than he was in his lifetime and exceed him in every way. Yeah? I am sure that if Jabez lived today, he would have sung with great gusto the song that we're all singing call the blessing. What do you think? May his favor be upon you and a thousand generations, your family and your children and their children and their children. Amen. The third part is, of this Jabez's prayer is, let your hand be with me. Jabez wanted God in every moment of his day. He wanted God's protection. He wanted his guidance through every trial, through every circumstance, through the, I don't have any idea how to handle this. Yeah? The fourth part he prayed is, and keep me from harm so that I will be free from pain. Interesting, considering his name. Jabez, because of the inheritance of being given a name like he was given, understood that if he wanted to rewrite his story and not live up to his name, to overcome his label, that what he needed to do was submit his will to God and to totally rely on God's guidance throughout his whole life. His whole life in Psalms that it says, all my springs are in you, O Lord. Jabez understood what it means that every part of his life was totally surrendered and given to God. Yeah? He needed to dive right in, just like my dad did at Mullaloo Beach, without hesitation, without testing the water, but courageously do it. Not with conditions, not with, well, I'll only pray if I know that it's going to happen. Yeah? What's the point if I don't have a guarantee that what I pray I'm going to get? Yeah? Can I encourage you this morning as a follower of Jesus that right now you jump right into his kingdom purposes? Don't hold back, don't approach with caution, but free fall into the arms of a loving Saviour. Because you know what? If I know nothing else at 59 years of age, I know that you can totally trust Jesus and rely on him. He has proved himself to me over and over and over again. In my darkest moments, when it seemed absolutely hopeless, he has come through for me big time. Amen? You know, so often I see people who come to faith and they're wavering and they're full of doubts. And that's okay, because God can answer all of your doubts and all of your fears. But sometimes because of that hesitation, you can waver. You can be in and you can be out of being a disciple of Jesus. One minute, you're in. The next, you're out. You never progress. You never grow in your faith. Sometimes you're at church, then you go for months and you're never at church. So there's this kind of 50 steps forward and 45 back kind of approach. But I just want to encourage you, if you are a believer that is hesitant, that is cautious, to dive right in this morning. Decide to fully live for Jesus and don't waver. Don't turn back. Don't look back. There's nothing there of any worth. I'm speaking prophetically to many of you about repositioning yourselves to the will of a loving and faithful Saviour, to surrender totally to him. You may have given your heart to Jesus, but make him the Lord of your life. Yeah? I want to recommend to you today that if you are on search to establish a consistent prayer life, then the prayer of Jabez might be a great start. You can start your day with this prayer, which encapsulates all of God's blessings and favour. And that's just, as I said, it's a tool. Yeah? You might be hearing this today and you may think to yourself, yeah, I can so do that. I can consistently, on a regular basis, a daily basis, I can actually pray the prayer of Jabez for my life. Yeah? You might adapt it, you might change it to your own, but that's just a suggested tool and approach that you might have to prayer. I want to talk to you this morning about another prayer approach, and I want to recommend this to you. It's called a crafted prayer. Let me show you. It's a crafted prayer, and I'm going to explain it to you by sharing my own experience. But if you are interested in actually reading the book, it took me about probably an hour and a half max to read this book. And you can get it at Coorong for $18, or you can go there, whatever, order it online. And that will explain in detail what I'm going to be sharing. I'm just going to give you a snippet, a little bit of a taste of what a crafted prayer is like. So, in March 2014, which is 16 years ago, I was driving with my sister Kerry to Burrendale Primary School. Now, we were both primary school teachers and working at this particular public school in Willerton. It was just what seemingly felt like an ordinary day going to work. All of a sudden, I noticed that she's not herself, and she starts to cry, and she tells me that her husband Tony has been diagnosed with motor neuron disease and has been given one, and at the most, probably not, but maybe even 4 years, most, to live. He was, at this time, 49 years of age. He was the executive pastor of Perth Christian Life Centre in Canning Vale. And as you can imagine, it was devastating news for us. And we were so shocked that Tony had this diagnosis of death. His daughter Megan was in her final year of high school. She was doing her ATAR. And our whole world felt like it was just crashing in. All of everything that was normal just didn't feel normal anymore. But despite the devastation and fear that Kerry and Tony felt, they decided right from the very start of this hugely challenging and difficult journey that they were going to believe the promises of God. And everyone around them was saying, well, Kerry, you're going to give up work and spend the last remaining time with Tony. And something inside of her, faith rose, and she said, no, we're going to keep living and not dying. Yeah, we're going to choose to keep living, to keep being normal, to keep doing the things we know to do. Even though the facts were grim, the truth was that God was Tony's healer. There were many miraculous happenings surrounding this challenging season, but God was clearly at work in so many different sorts of ways. Now, at this exact same time, we were introduced to the idea of a crafted prayer. A guy called Graham Cook actually is the writer of this book. And there were two ladies who were very close friends of Kerry's and mine, and their names were Sandy Dusting, her mum Daphne comes here, and Roz Cranswick, and her mum Kath Ward also is a very, very important part of our church community, although she lives a little bit away now. And so they were two very close friends of ours, and we had got onto this idea of a crafted prayer. And so what we did, because we didn't want Kerry to be burdened, she had enough to contend with. So what we did was we agreed that we would write a crafted prayer specifically for Tony. And we would pray it together till we saw some sort of sign, some sort of breakthrough. And we did this for about 5 or 6 months. So what's a crafted prayer, you ask? A crafted prayer is when an individual or a group of people come together and they get into a room and they are still before God and they ask God what he is saying about the particular problem that you may have. So try to imagine this. I'm trying to give you a visual to explain this as clearly as I can. Try to imagine that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the Trinity of God, are sitting around a table in heaven. And they're having a conversation about Tony's condition. So rather than going into a frenzy and a huge panic and taking matters into our own hands, we're actually asking God what he says about this, what he thinks about this, what his intention is in this situation, in this particular case for Tony. We ask him for guidance, we ask him for scriptures, we ask him for wisdom. We ask him what is his will for Tony in this crisis. And we ask that his purposes will be fulfilled in his life. And I said to my sister Kerry, I said, if we have to mourn, we will mourn. I said, but we sure ain't doing it now. We're going to fight. We're going to actually call on Him who was and is to come, the great healer, the great I am, and we're going to fix our attention and our gaze firmly on Him. Yeah? So what happened was we would come together and we would just wait on God, we would worship, and then as we were doing that, we would write down scriptures that we felt God was saying to us. And over a period of weeks, we gathered all this insight from the heart of God and crafted a prayer specifically for Tony. It wasn't lengthy, it wasn't, you know, impressive. It was just a couple of paragraphs that acknowledged that his life and times were totally in God's hands, and that our whole our role was to simply keep praying this God-given prayer over his life and trust God with the end result. Every time we met, our faith and trust in God's sovereignty grew, as each one would take the prayer that we'd written together and read and declare over Tony the promises of God. We knew they had come direct from the throne room of heaven. And despite all of the disheartening reports, all the trials that happened in that period, we remained steadfast together. It says to remain steadfast, unmovable. Yeah? Always abounding in the work of the Lord. So during this time, other friends and family were also praying and interceding. Kerry and Tony were rising earlier than they normally did, and they took communion together every morning as a commitment to their total reliance on God as their healer. One of Kerry's close friends, June Allen, fasted for 40 days for Tony and was a great source of support and strength for him and for Kerry. So we're going along and we're meeting every week in Ros Cranswick's home, and after about 4 months, Tony's neurologist recommends that he goes for a second opinion, as there were some inconsistencies in his original diagnosis. So a group of neurologists from all over Perth come together at Sir Charles Gairdner Hospital, and they poked and prodded Tony, trying to come to an accurate prognosis. After much deliberation, they decided that he had a similar condition to motor neuron, but it was different, and it was called motor neuropathy with block, because it only affected one leg and one arm. And most importantly, there was a treatment, unlike motor neuron, for this condition. Well, that was the game changer. That was the but God. That was the suddenly. And it has meant that Tony, 16 years later, is alive. He didn't die, he lived. Amen? Because every month he goes and gets an injection of what is called gamma globulin treatment, which replaces what he's losing with this condition. You may say to me, well, Bethwyn, he wasn't totally healed. He's alive. Yeah. Woohoo! Amen? Yeah, I'll take that any day. Can you imagine our great relief as we realised that Tony was going to live and not die? Whew. Now, you can actually write a crafted prayer about anybody or anything. It can be related to one of your children. It can be about a crisis in your life. It can be a person with a terminal illness. Anything that is troubling you and you feel desperate for God's divine intervention and breakthrough. So, we've got the prayer of Jabez and we've got a crafted prayer. Two tools, yeah? Two tools. Checking my fingers. Two tools. And both tools work because of heart attitude. Prayers are not answered because of wonderfully phrased words, eloquent speech, length of prayer, or the sort of process that you choose to use. They are answered because they glorify God. But you and I have to make a decision to dive right in. No turning back, firmly fixing our total reliance on God's words and promises to be working in your circumstance. So often we are control freaks, aren't we? We when trouble strikes us out of nowhere, we try and fix things with our limited human understanding rather than throwing ourselves totally into God's loving embrace. Pray without ceasing, and in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. I want to encourage everyone watching our service online today to never ever give up, to keep praying, to keep standing, to pray without ceasing. Now, I know that there are many of you, in fact, probably all of us, who have people in our lives, circumstances in our lives, where we need a breakthrough, we need a but God, we need a suddenly. Can I recommend that you dive right in to prayer? Whatever you choose to do, whatever tool you choose to use, don't hold back, don't be hesitant. Amen? Well, I'd love to pray for you this morning as we close our service, but there may be those of you who have tuned in to us this morning and you don't actually even know God. You're obviously something's happening in your heart and life and you're interested, but you don't actually personally know God. Well, I'd love for you to find God personally this morning. So I'm going to pray, and I'd like you to repeat this prayer after me if you'd like to accept Jesus as your Lord and Saviour. You can make that decision to follow him right now. So would you close your eyes, bow your heads with me. Dear Lord Jesus, I invite you into my heart and life today. Forgive me of all my sins. Come inside my heart and take complete control. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, I just thank you for Real Life Church. I thank you for every valuable, crucial, beautiful heart, Father God. And I just pray that right now you would ignite within every one of us a fire, a passion, a desire to pray, to dive right into your purposes for our life. And I thank you for what you have in mind for our church in the days to come. In Jesus' name, amen.